Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, the home team hour number two, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Chris and Jeff with you till 7. As we mourn today. It's the end times, Jeff.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing. I wanted Jake to come back, and then the news of Cade Mays. No, it's disappointing, and Georgia won't have the expectation certainly from the national media next year. But again, I'll say that the message from the Sugar Bowl was guys who really want to be here, they went out and played great. And we got a tremendous win to win 12 games and win the Sugar Bowl, which is a great accomplishment there. And I think that's going to be the message going into spring too. Hey, listen, people still pick – you guys might be picked to finish third in the East, but – nobody's going to pick you number one or in the top five. So let's see how hungry you are. And I think Georgia's going to have a good team next year. Now, will it be as good as these last three? Yeah, we'll see. But I certainly think for the program, even if Georgia does dip a little bit next year, I don't think the program's very far from the top in terms of talent or in terms of time frame of getting back there, even if Georgia isn't next season.
Well, I mean, the biggest question is we'll have to see what Georgia does and how it replaces Fromm and addresses the quarterback position.
Sure.
And kind of evaluate things from there and see how things go in the spring and who's looking good. The defense is going to be good. I mean, the defense is going to give Georgia a chance to win all of its games next season because the defense should be able to limit just about everyone that Georgia faces, but at some point you do have to be able to score.
Well,
and I mean, Georgia's not going to be incapable of that, but again, we'll just have to see what happens at the quarterback spot. But Georgia had a hard time scoring this year, so my early lean for 2020 is that Georgia's offense will not be lighting up the scoreboard next year either.
That's the two ways of looking at it. Now, in November, the teams that Georgia was playing, they were exceptional defenses that Georgia was going against.
Yes.
Until Tech. And Georgia was struggling scoring. So it's like, well, golly, we're losing Thomas, we're losing Fromm, we're losing Swift, okay. The other way to look at it is like, well, yeah, scored 21 against Auburn, 19 against A&M. It's not like you're talking about an offense that was scored 45 points a game. I mean, it's just another angle of how you could look at things. I mean, I think a lot, and you're right, identifying that next quarterback, and I'm not just talking about for 2020, but for 2021, 2022, that's at the top of the list. We got to get that line rebuilt, and I'm telling you too, then our biggest question going into 2021 is going to be Herring's a senior, Wyatt's going to be a senior, and Rochester's going to be a senior. We're going to have to get that depth back up on the defensive line, so we've got to get that depth back in the trenches, and that along with that quarterback spot, that's going to be the top recruiting priority for 2021.
Well, I suspect next year too is going to be a year Georgia will have underclassmen it's losing from defense early, where it's not just guys who are seniors. Like next year we'll be sweating out some Georgia defensive players that might be deciding to leave for the pros early.
Stokes will be a fourth year junior.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think that there'll be at least one or, Ojulari will be a third year sophomore. That's a guy that's like, I'll go ahead and take him just for 3 years of playing,
yeah,
not 3 years of being in school. But, that is, when you look at the defense, I mean, getting Monty Rice back, getting LeCount back, getting Eric Stokes back, that's huge.
Absolutely enormous. Georgia's defense is going to be in good shape next year.
And I think the big thing for the defense they might have to say is, all right, guys, now listen, we got to rebuild this offensive line. We're going to have a new quarterback. We know that. That is one thing that, and I'm not trying to sit here and spin and say, oh, this has been a great day, but at least you know that going into the spring. We're going to have a new quarterback, and we're going to have a rebuilt offensive line. So you know that going in. This might where the defense like, hey, guys, we got to be even better. We might have to score some, too. We got to create a few more turnovers. We're going to have to carry this team. And then what you would hope, even if Georgia were to lose at Alabama, let's say you squeak one out against Auburn and you're heading into that Florida game 6-1, then maybe that offense starts to find itself a little bit. You can get that momentum building there. But that defense, I think they know they're going to have to carry the load at least for the first part of next season.
Yeah. And Tennessee is a must-win game.
That's
now.
A large game.
All right, the 5-5
that
is –
might be, you're right, behind Tech, that might be – number two next season.
Like this past year it was Florida. There was Florida. Yes. Got to beat them. Tennessee, I think, replaces Florida now based on events from today, which we will address in this upcoming 5-5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Let's start with Jake, though, leaving and talk about the quarterback position. We have no idea who's going to end up being the starting quarterback, but rank the candidates that you think have the best chance to start. Will George have one guy start game one? Will also start game 12, assuming health, or will there be multiple starters throughout the season?
Well, right now, from what we know, I think the best candidate to start the first game is Stetson Bennett because he's the only guy on the roster who's taking snaps.
Okay.
Number two, I think you'd say would be Dwan Mathis because he went through a spring practice. Just a harrowing story what he went through. But he has been, and Kirby talked about even before the procedure took place, how the kid was like a sponge. He was taking in, and he said he was like, when I say a mini Jake Fromm, he's taller than Jake, but, you know, kind of a Jake Jr. there, the way he was able to just absorb everything. So the fact that even though he hadn't been cleared for contact, that he got to take part in everything. And then I think number three, you would say Beck, which also then brings us to – you know, the real question out there is Georgia going to get a grad transfer? I would bet there is somebody lined up.
And if that happens, then they would become the front runner to start.
100%. So right now, option D, whoever that grad transfer is, would probably be the best bet. Now, the other question is, will the player who starts the first game start the 12th game, assuming they're healthy? That we don't know. I think the big thing to me, no matter what happens in 2020, just as far as the position goes, we really want to see the growth and development with Mathis and Beck. And that's why I think another big thing for Kirby in the offseason, we know we've got at least the one spot open on the coaching staff there. You would think a quarterback's coach is going to be a top priority. We'll see if anything else gets shuffled around, but we do know this. You better trust your quarterback and you better trust your kicker.
And Georgia's losing both.
And the two games Georgia lost, Jake and Rodrigo had their two worst games. And that's the only two games Jake threw an interception in.
Yeah. And the first one, the South Carolina game with the defense was good. Gave up the one long pass to Edwards, right. And that was it.
And remember, Rod, that was the only two games he missed two kicks in both games.
Yeah. And honestly, in the SEC championship game, given the context of what LSU's offense did to Texas A&M and did to Oklahoma after, Georgia's defense actually had a respectable showing in there.
Oh, for sure.
Only giving 100%.
Up 37. No, 100%.
So, now, that LSU offense is just on – they've taken flight.
No, but that is – so I think, you know, is Kirby – and it's a constant, readjusting your staff. I mean, think of the moves that Saban's made. You know, obviously what Orgeron did, bringing in Joe Brady to, you know, step right in there with Steve Ensminger there. So for any coach out there, I think coaching your kicker and coaching your quarterback, you want to have somebody really, really good in those spots because, again, if you don't trust those players, and you know what I mean by trust, you know, can you make that 3rd-and-7 pass when the game's on, when you're down by three, up by three, or it's high? You think about the throw that Jake made to Eli Wolf that essentially put away the Florida game.
Yeah, 3rd-and-Grantham.
And thank you. And with kickers, there are not too many Rex Robinsons and Kevin Butlers and John Casey's out there that are going to go out there and routinely make the 50-yarders. But do you have the guy, all right, we got a holding penalty and we're goal to go from the 14. Can you make the 34-yard field goal? To me, that's what you've got to have. Anything from 40 in, can we count on you to make that?
Yeah, like the legendary kick of Rodrigo's career is the Rose Bowl kick.
Yes.
But that's that's a nice luxury you can have if you can afford it. But no, you want the kicker that when you get inside that 40-yard line that you can pretty much rely on one way or another, we're getting points out of this.
Now, the other part of that, can you in the back of your mind say, we've been too reliant on that. We need more touchdowns here. So could that, in theory, you know, think back to the 2011 Florida game, maybe spark the offense to, you know, try and take advantage a little bit more on fourth down? I don't know, just conjecture, but you got to be able to trust your kicker and your quarterback if you're going to have a great season. Because at some point, you can have talent all over the board, but at some point, you got to make the big kick. You got to make the big pass.
Well, some of the, you know, leaning and relying on a field goal, and even in the Sugar Bowl last week, Georgia couldn't pick up a yard on that to drive after the flea flicker to Pickens and ended up settling for a field goal. You know, the play against Notre Dame where Georgia had a chance to maybe go for it and break the game open, instead made a 10-point game, a 13-point game, and gave the Irish the ball back. But it came down to not having confidence that you could just gain that yard, and Georgia has struggled, and oddly enough, with the talent on the O-line and the running backs Georgia's had the last couple of seasons, Georgia has really struggled in those short yardage situations. So then you go to this season and think, well, how's Georgia going to fare in those things this year? If you do want to maybe say, well, maybe we do go for it now because we're not as confident that we've got the automatic 3 points. But then if you do go for it, can you get it?
And I think a thing, too, for the offense, and again, the attrition and the injuries had a lot to do with that. But we never just seemed to get an identity. And to me, again, just broad brushing here, it seems like we were caught in between sometimes. When we'd run that little, when we'd snap it to Jake, and I guess, what do you call that, the zone read, whatever, Jake wasn't really a threat to run. So to me, that was wasting time. And especially with the defenses packed up there, everybody within 10, 11 yards of the line of scrimmage, that wasn't maximizing what we could do. Too many times, too, our offensive line on run plays, the first move was up. The first move wasn't out. And so what was going through my head was, okay, we're relying on the defense, special teams. That's great. We get what's happened to us at wide receiver there. So if we're going to try and be a power team, let's go all in. You know, let's put that fullback in there. You know, we don't have one. Well, line up somebody. I mean, put Harry in at fullback and Swift at tailback, whatever. You know, if we're going to be a power run first team, let's go do that. Or, you know, at times we would look really good when Jake was going hurry up. Let's go that way. And I think the injuries just had a lot to do with that. And keep it in mind, the injuries we had on the O-line too, we just never could get the passing game in sync, and I just don't think we ever had the cohesion on the offensive line. Keeping in mind, we went 12-2 and won the Sugar Bowl, but the offense, even with everything we lost before the year, I think everybody would agree, you know, was disappointing that it wasn't more consistent and didn't score more points. So I think that's going to be another big thing in the spring too. Just to, you know, first of all, you know, I'm sure the first week of spring it's going to be all right. Who's going to start up front? You're going to work all the quarterbacks. But we got to try and find that identity. That was part of what I loved about the Sugar Bowl. We were running those quick tosses, the imagination that we showed on the flea flicker, which was a great play. When Swift comes in, you knew they were zeroed in on him.
Yep.
And Jake was primarily throwing the ball down the field.
To Pickens.
Yes, we were getting the ball. You know who was? Zamir and Pickens, our guys.
Well, it's the second quarter.
Guys.
Pickens had 7 of his catches in that quarter.
And, I mean, in the TD that Zamir had, I mean, he looks close He looks very close. I think Georgia handled him perfectly all year. But, I mean, that run was 13 yards. We ran a quick toss to him. I mean, the safety came up a little bit high on him and had no chance.
Yeah.
That was a glimpse.
No, times watching him run some this year, it's like, yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that's built. He's going to be hard to bring down. He's going to break tackles, but he's just got to get that ability to, you know, to not just go, to not just go forward and, you know, even get that burst too, where he's got some speed and you won't even be able to catch him from behind. Because going back to that first game against Vandy, there were a couple times that he looked like he was going to break him, but he just didn't have that burst and he got caught.
Well,
you know, but the holes were there and he blew right through them.
I think big picture for the team, and I remember when Bob Stoops got the Oklahoma job, he was asked about schemes and what all he wanted to run. He said the big thing we got to get on is blocking and tackling. And then year two, they win it. And listen, Georgia's obviously way past that, where we've been. We've obviously got to retool some things. But I think the message for this spring and going into the season is the guys who are here, kind of, are you all in? And I'm talking about academically, you know, staying out of trouble. And it was kind of a good news, bad news, in that, you know, we didn't have all those guys ready for the Sugar Bowl, which was disappointing. And I know Kirby was the most disappointed out of anybody. But the guys who did do their jobs and were ready, they did go all in and they played great. So this is going to be about, all right, who all is on board? And I'm talking about from day one in every area. And that's where I think you can get the positives out of it. Whether we have a great season or whether it's a good season, no matter what comes out of that, I think that creates a ramp for you to really move forward in a good direction. Because, I mean, you look at the talent. I mean, Georgia's recruiting. I'd like to have done better in-state, but this out-of-state class is incredible. I mean, the recruiting, the players are there. Now, we got to rebuild the line, and, you know, obviously we got to find that next quarterback. Maybe the next quarterback's on campus. We'll see. But, you know, no matter what happens in 2020, and maybe we do have a great year, we're not far from the top.
No, and I don't think Georgia will stray far from the top this you know, this season, but this isn't the type of day that you look ahead now and think like, oh, no, we'll be playoff contenders. It's odd. Think it's just 1 year ago, Georgia had that embarrassing showing in the Sugar Bowl, and it did nothing to shake my confidence about the season going forward. Georgia wins the Sugar Bowl this year. I feel worse about the team right now than I did a year ago, but, you know, that just has to do with attrition. It doesn't have to do with, like, the long-term direction of the program, but, you know, when you lose a player of the caliber of Fromm. And then it also brings us to another topic, and that is Cade Mays, Jeff. Cade Mays, WTF.
Okay, you know what he is? He's a bandwagon Vol fan. He is. They've gone from being bad to being respectable again, so he's going home. Grew up a Tennessee fan. His dad was a heck of a player there, and I guess he wants to go back. And now you see this lawsuit thing about the part of his finger that he lost, Kevin, the dad. And, you know, at the time, everybody was like, oh, it's still the best recruiting trip ever. And, you know, it's like, is this a ploy to get him immediate eligibility? I don't know.
That's the assumption. They've got to have something to – because it looks like the suit was filed in early December. And maybe that's, hey, look, I'm suing the school. I mean, it's going to be uncomfortable for my son to be there. I don't know. I mean, that would be the assumption, is they've got to, whatever they're trying to set as bait for the NCAA to allow immediate eligibility.
Well, you know, he has played the last, he did start the Sugar Bowl.
But they weren't suing then. Well, they were suing, I guess, during the Sugar Bowl, though, yes.
You know, it's one of those things that I don't think he should be immediately eligible, but they'll probably give it to him because of this. So I've just kind of grown to expect that.
Well, this is like the thing I've always been fine with it, and I've always said the comebacks are like, oh, so if like Nick Chubb just left for Florida, you'd be okay with that? Like, no, I wouldn't like that. But if Nick Chubb decided I feel like I'd be better off at Florida, then I'm like, yeah, I'm for the players having that ability to do that. And so here we are with this example of like, so you're okay with Cade Mays leaving? Like, well, I don't like it, but yeah, if he wants to go and play in Knoxville now, yes, I'm okay with that.
I think he can go play. I think he ought to sit out a year.
Yeah, well, I think there should be some consistency with the policy. I don't think they should have to sit out, but I also don't think like Luke Ford should and Justin Fields shouldn't, you know?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, it's kind of like we've said with the NFL with some of the rules, like we don't really know what the rules are. I mean, again, when I'm a kid, when times were simpler, when we were children, like, all right, well, if you play after the first three games, you can't redshirt. If you get hurt within the first three games, you can redshirt. No, if you leave, well, you got to sit out a year. Well, now it's just, it seems to be on a case by case. It's kind of like a whack-a-mole. Eligible, not eligible.
Yeah.
Eligible.
Quarterback is like you're definitely getting to play.
Well, we got to have you there.
But, again, Aubrey Solomon was eligible last year for Tennessee, and I have no idea what his argument was because normally it's at least, well, I want to move closer to home. I've got a sick relative or something. But he's from Leesburg, and he went from Michigan to Knoxville. So.
Well, and that's also one to me. And I get it, they are kids, but at the same time, kids are making a commitment somewhere. So that should count for something, too. And these schools, they're paying, you know, it's a lot of money for these kids to go to school. They're on scholarship, all that stuff. And there is something to be said about making a commitment somewhere. And like in Aubrey Solomon's case, it's like, well, I got homesick. It's like, well, we're from Leesburg, Georgia. You just moved to Michigan. You know, so you got to have some consequences too.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, like all schools are doing, like, so for Georgia, Georgia's taken on transfers that have made a commitment someplace else.
No,
and,
I,
you know,
I,
Demetrius I know. Robertson, we got him immediately eligible. So
no,
you win
I
some,
hear
you lose some. But
I mean, I like the grad transfer rule. I think that's good because you've performed in the classroom. You're graduated. Usually you've got 1 year to go. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, there is like the thing is you fulfilled your
academic
obligation. But
like I think the key there, and you and I are on mostly opposite sides on this, but with some common ground, but we're probably ahead of Congress on that. But, you know, at least I think we can agree that there needs to be some consistency. And then at that point, whether you like it or not, you at least know what the rules are.
Yeah. I mean, some school shouldn't have a player who's not eligible and that player then has to sit out while he's watching. Now, like Luke Ford was a teammate with Justin Fields.
Justin Fields can play. Luke Ford can't.
Luke Ford couldn't have made, didn't make any sense.
No, it did not.
So I expect Mays will be, he'll be rolling into Athens next year.
Bringing us to outside of Tech, Georgia's most important game in 2020.
Tennessee and Tech.
Thank you.
And they're both between the hedges, so they are must wins.
Now, it will be, I think, those games will be late in the year, so hopefully.
That's right.
You know, I
forgot that. Yeah, I was still thinking the Tennessee game will be in like late September, early October. That's right.
So
it's
hopefully
not.
That could be a little, you know, maybe the offense will be clicking by then.
Yeah. Tennessee is now.
So
it goes Florida at South Carolina and then home Tennessee, right?
And then at Kentucky.
Yeah, that South Carolina game is going to be.
No, that's just,
Adam, we don't need to think about that now, but. What a day.
Even with all this, we'll be a decided underdog at Alabama. Okay, take that one out. There might be over that Florida, South Carolina is going to be brutal. There's still not a Saturday right now I look at and say, we don't have a chance.
The only one I would say would be Bama.
No,
we're not going to go there and win.
I mean, it's the 12th game in
third game in 12 days. Yeah.
But I mean, outside of that, you know, we might be an underdog and say, oh, boy, this is going to be tough. Right now, it's like we're not going to say, we don't have a chance. No.
No, we'll have a shot in all of them. Right now, I would say we're catching at Bama and we'll be catching in Jacksonville.
I think we could be an underdog at South Carolina. I think South Carolina is going to be good.
I would expect Helinski will improve with Bobo.
Now here's another one too, and they'll be good on the defensive line. South Carolina is another example, and we kind of hit this when we go to the break. But Helinski was good as a freshman, got hurt. They've had a longtime commit who signed Luke Doty, who's a top 100 rated dual threat quarterback. That's another spot where I will bet you there ain't no way both of those guys are there in 2021.
No, well they lost.
No, Bentley left.
Yeah, Bentley went to Utah.
So, I mean, what are the odds? You got a guy, you got a sophomore who played a lot, who was highly recruited. Now you got a true freshman coming in who is from, I think he's from Myrtle Beach, but he's from the state of South Carolina. Maybe they can coexist for 20. There's no way they're both there in 22, and I would bet 21. That's why, and it's not like you stop recruiting guys, but you almost have to luck into it and have the elites have a gap year between them. But in that in-between year, you better sign somebody who's at least pretty good.
Yeah, competent for sure. But Helinski's a California kid, so.
He is, so.
I guess it depends. Yeah, that's the thing. Helinski now, it's Bobo's new. So Doty and Helinski are basically on the same footing. That's probably a... It's probably a little quarterback derby they've got heading into the spring. All right, finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-5. Burrow, Tua, and Fromm all exiting the SEC.
Oof.
Who is the league's top quarterback next year? Lynn Bowden even gone.
Whew, what a dude he is. Good left hand as well. You got Mond. You got Plumlee. You got Nix. You got Trask. You got Helinski. Bo Nix.
You're going to say Nix, okay.
He's the Auburn legacy, too.
Man, I might lean Plumlee.
He can run.
I'd like to hear from Matt Luke how all that went. He was committed here, right?
He was.
And but he didn't sign, and then he ended up at Ole Miss instead. Now he's riding the Lane train.
I think I would bet some of the things you saw in the Sugar Bowl, and it's good to have a set of fresh eyes. I would bet that Matt Luke had a little input on some things. Again, for me, you know what I was loving? Those
little sweeps.
Oh, those pitches we were running, for sure.
I'm just a fan of getting the ball to your best players, and we did that in the second quarter with Pickens.
So Pickens was going great. Then Zamir got rolling, and it was a classic that Pickens was going, all right, then they had to start, then the run game opened up. Yeah, just get the ball to your guys.
Yeah. All right, the 5-5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.